Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Did you know that we're officially back in a buyer's market? That's right. Even though interest rates continue to rise, they are causing prices to fall. So there's finally room for you to do regular real estate investor things that we couldn't do for so long, like gasp, negotiate, make lower offers, ask for sellers to cover some of your closing costs. So it's a really great time to buy in terms of being able to get a lower purchase price and being able to negotiate. So if you're looking for your first or next short-term rental, it's a perfect time to reach out to us at the Short Term Shop. Let our team of agents in any of our true vacation market destinations help you find the perfect investment. Jump on over to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected to get started. We are brokered by eXp Realty. See y'all over there. Hey guys, welcome back to the Short Term Show. I have a very exciting guest today. I'm actually kind of embarrassed that I have not had her on sooner because she should have been on like in one of the first few episodes. So she needs no introduction, but she has a really awesome book out called Million Dollar Host. She's also part of the Hospitable Hosts book network. Like this Hospitable Host is like a lot of things now. She's done a lot of cool stuff and she has a really cool accent. So I will stop talking and let her introduce herself. Hello, Julie George. How's it going?
G'day, g'day. Avery, finally we meet. Let me in, Short Term Shop. It's very exciting to finally be on your podcast. Hello to all the audience listening out there. I am coming to you from Australia. A day ahead. So I joked with Avery just before that I can see into the future. The future is bright for short-term rentals. So exciting that we're on the cusp of something massive. And for those of you listening in now, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to bring you some value from down under.
Are my kids behaving in the future? I need to know.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that one.
All right, Julie, I think a lot of people have read your book, know exactly who you are. But for those of them who may not, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, my claim to fame is I'm one of the short-term rental operators in the world that has scaled a business and then sold the business. But let's go back to the basics. Back in 2016, way, way back 6 years ago, which is ridiculous, it's only 6 years ago, I had a one-bedroom apartment and it was a property that was long-term let. Tenant moved out, fully furnished. Had a look at giving this phenomenon of Airbnb a go and put the linen in, put the Wi-Fi on, and within hours had my first booking, within days had my first guest on Airbnb. Love, love, love the fact that I could suddenly use my own investment property for the first time ever to house my mother-in-law if she was coming to stay. No longer married, so don't need to worry about that issue. But be able to use the property myself. Suddenly the returns were incredible and the light bulb went off. And I thought, wow, if it can work for me, perhaps it can work for others. So I created a property management co-hosting business in Australia called Host My Home. I was able to really put in a unique business structure, build up a team, but then get it to 130 properties within a 2.5 year period. Just prior to COVID, 130 properties, but also $8 million turnover, which absolutely blew my mind. So just prior to COVID, had that amazing knock on the door, someone wanting to give me a big fat check to buy my business. Little did we know COVID was right around the corner. So the timing was absolutely spot on. Sold my business. And now I get the luxury of being able to help motivate, inspire, and support others who want to replicate the same success that I have through consultations, getting up and doing public speaking, the books that that I've written. And I just was talking to Avery because we are excited to say that Netflix have come knocking as well. So Netflix, we have started recording a television show based on hospitable hosts that I'll be presenting and narrating. So pretty exciting stuff, Avery, pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, that is a lot of exciting stuff. And I have a lot of questions. I mean, talk about perfect timing of getting that business sold right before COVID.
Right?
Yeah.
I told you
that
I can
was
see in
really
the future,
lucky. Yeah, that was very lucky.
It was very perfect. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't even realize. When you're building up these short-term rental portfolios, we are building saleable assets. You've got to get the timing right, of course, to sell them like I did. But folks, if you're listening out there, if you've got one property, if you've got two properties, that management of those properties, whether they're your own, whether you are arbitraging, leasing and subleasing, or whether you're co-hosting in the management model, you're building a saleable asset that somebody at some stage will possibly want to buy off you.
That's not something that's really ever occurred to me other than just, you know, selling the individual properties themselves. And then those, I don't know how the valuation of properties in Australia works, if it works like here, but here the price of the property is determined just based on residential sold comps and not what the property makes. But if you're selling the entire business, then it's now based on how much it makes, isn't it?
It is. And so you've got two options. You could either sell the full real estate asset plus the business. But for me, I owned a few of those properties. Out of the 130 properties that I was managing, six of them were mine. But what I would always say to anybody who owns real estate, who is running them as a short-term rental, make sure you've got a separate LLC set up as a management company. Contract back to yourself. So you've got your real estate asset, you've got, and maybe in a company owning those real estates, that real estate, but then you've also got your management company, which if you ever want to, you can sell the management rights and the management contract to your own properties to somebody else. You hold on to your real estate, and that's, I would never sell real estate. You always keep buying and acquiring and growing. I mean, I'm talking to the converted here, Avery. Actually, I feel like I've met my soul sister here. It's on the opposite side of the world. We're both doing exactly the same thing. And so I'm glad the blondes are taking over. But folks, if you are running your own short-term rentals, you own your real estate, I would always recommend open up a separate LLC, contract to yourself, basically, with your management. And then one day, if you get sick of making beds, you get sick of cleaning those toilets, don't employ or take on the services of a management company, sell your management rights to that property to somebody else.
Are you allowed to say who you sold it to or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So I sold to a company called Hometime here in Australia. They're a very big operator. They've probably got about 1,500 properties here in Australia. And they, you know what, it was like selling my firstborn child. I had to find the right adoptive parents who were going to nurture my company. I'd built it up to such a point where I didn't want somebody to come in and change things up straight away. But these guys were incredible. They came in, they looked after it, and they're still running it to today. And a lot of my original team, my staff, are still there. And kind of really proud. So yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So it's kind of like the Vacasa we have in the States that has like a huge. Okay, gotcha. Exactly.
But maybe with a better reputation. Sorry,
I wasn't going to say that, but she said it, not me. I just kicked a Vacasa rep out of my Facebook group this morning for fishing for clients.
Oh, no, cheeky buggers. You know, Vacasa, just out of interest, if you ever are looking to sell your business, Vacasa are one of a unique bunch of companies that has on their website, sell your short-term rental business to us. So they have a tab on their website. You can go in there, fill in your details. They'll come back to you with a purchase offer. So, I can't guarantee what sort of money they will come at you with, but look, if you're curious, have a go. But for anybody who is curious about how to value your business, I can give you a sneaky on that. And that is simply your last yearly net profit times that by 2.5 to either 2.5 to 3 multiplier. At the moment, I'm seeing the multipliers go up because we are seeing the short-term rental industry is just booming worldwide. So it is really exciting to say that the valuations are going up, but take your last yearly net profit, times that by 2.5. That's probably the worst case scenario on what somebody should be paying you if you're looking to sell your management rights.
That is really interesting. So I think let's back up some, because I think that the burning question that most listeners are going to have right now is, you went from zero to 130 properties in 2.5 years. How in the hell did you do that? That's a lot of properties.
You have to buy a book to find that out. No, it is the most asked question. How did you do that? And okay, so all right, I'm going to give you all my secrets now. Okay. But I think the number one thing is to have, I was very fortunate that I was in an area that it was the perfect storm. We had an international airport. We had a lot of international visitors coming in, but we had an area where the hotels and typical accommodation capacity were just not able to cope with the demand. So I was able to come in with a solution for that. The council and the local legislation, that, you know, everybody just was so supportive of my business. So I was very fortunate that I was in the perfect area. But what I did straight away was to set myself up as the expert, the Airbnb guru, the short-term rental, you know, queen, whatever it might be. Nobody comes along and says, you're the $1 million host, and stamps that on your forehead. You've got to create that for yourself and become a person of influence in the area. So I quickly was able to establish myself as being the go-to girl. I did that through a few things. Social media was a key point. Having a really good website for my business, essential. So that was absolutely a no-brainer. You have to put money into making a really good professional front, shop front, basically. I also wrote glossy magazine articles. So there was a magazine that was going out to property investors in my region, and I just wrote articles on how people could do this themselves. So how can you make money out of your vacation home over the Christmas period while you're away? What are the top 10 performing short-term rentals in the area? I wasn't coming up with any of this. I was coming up with it myself, but I was just taking information from somewhere like AirDNA, finding the top 10 properties in my region and repurposing that information, giving credit to AirDNA, of course, but saying this property made $200,000 a year and just telling the basics about that particular property. It was a newsworthy, interesting article that the press loved. And I put it out there, but I also would talk about, it wasn't a sales pitch, but right next door to that article was an ad for Julie George's Host My Home Airbnb Property Management. So people were coming in and contacting us and wanting to find out more. Strategic relationships with realtors. My goodness, look at the realtors and the people in your area with the same audience as your best friends. So I was getting in there with realtors saying, look, let me do an appraisal on this property. You are trying to sell this overpriced luxury furnished home. It's sitting on the market. Let's do an appraisal for short-term rentals. Use that as a sales tool. Give that to the property investors. It might be a win-win. You'll sell the house. I might get a management. Boom. Of course, one step further on top of that, I would go back to that realtor once we became best buddies and say, how about we try and convince the owner to list it on short-term rentals while they're trying to sell? We can then promote to property investors, try before you buy. And then I'll clean it. I will make sure it's ready for open inspections. It's going to be secure. and I'll help promote it. Of course, that was a no-brainer as well. So look, there was a few things there, but getting it there, establishing yourself as the expert, making sure you've got a very good professional front and you're reassuring to the homeowner that you're going to look after that property. And then look at the strategic relationships you can set up in your local area. Sorry, one more as well. Tell everybody what you're doing. So many property hosts don't tell their family and friends what they're doing. Shout it to the rooftops, wear a name badge with pride, have your elevator pitch ready to go. When the grocery store attendant says and sees your name badge and says, "Julie George, what's Host My Home?" Be ready with your 60-second elevator pitch. Tell them who you are, what you're offering, and then a call to action. Ask for the business. Tell them that you're looking for properties to manage, and you'll be surprised how many people will come in. But those things must have worked, because 130 properties later, boom, it was a nice little portfolio to have.
Well, and I also want to provide some context in terms of the time that this happened. So this was like 2016, 2017, right? So even though Airbnb has been around significantly longer than that, this was still kind of like early adopter times. So to be able to scale that quickly was really especially crazy. It sounds crazy now, but it was especially crazy back then. And it was kind of the Wild West in terms of being able to get properties and get people to signed on to manage them, because there's just so many influencers now and so much education out there and so much of this and so much of that. And it's so easy to get information on running a short-term rental, owning a short-term rental, that it's just a lot different of a landscape now than it was. That my husband actually said to me today, this morning, he was like, "Do you ever wish we could go back to when everybody told us we were crazy for buying short-term rentals?" And I was like, yeah, I kind of do wish that, because there's a lot of stuff I would have bought back then.
Exactly.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the content of our podcast, but you have additional short-term rental questions, we host a weekly live question session that you guys can join for free. It's at 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. And if you head over to strquestions.com, you can sign up. So not only am I the host of this show, but I also own and manage my own properties, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have about short-term rental investing. So please join us anytime for a free weekly live Q&A on Zoom. Sign up at strquestions.com.
And, you know, back then you hit it on the head. There wasn't the assistance that we've got now in terms of resources or strategies that are out there. I look now and I think anybody who's trying to get in now actually is probably luckier in one way, that they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can take what you've done, Avery. They can take what I've done. They can just replicate exactly what we've done to succeed. Honestly, I kind of feel like now if I had started the business now, I probably could have done even better. Because I look back and all the mistakes that I made, I mean, gosh, you know, I right at the beginning, I was taking any property and every property, and that was a big mistake. I was taking any property owner. That was also a big mistake.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So, you know, I look back now and go, man, if only I had the luxury of being able to have some of these influencers now or coaches or whatever it might be to sort of guide me in the right direction. And folks, you haven't missed the boat by any stage. If you're listening in right now, I just think that I'm excited. Like, I just get super excited when somebody says they're looking to take on their first short-term rental. I'm like, just do it. You will not regret it. You'll love it. It'll open up the financial freedom. You're going to be able to have flexibility with your family. Well, I say flexibility with your family, but it's damn hard work, and I'm probably not married anymore because I made my husband fold fitted sheets. I don't know, but it's exciting times.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, back when we started, we had to just like muddle through and, well, I think this is going to work. Let's try this. I think we can manage this remotely. Let's try it, and just kind of figured it out. But now you can look through and say, okay, there's these, you know, 10 influencers, and this one kind of most closely matches what I think I want to do. Let me just follow their blueprint. Like, they're just providing you the blueprint to do the thing, which is the hardest part. It takes maybe it does take a crazy person to do something that there is not a blueprint for just yet.
Well, that's you and I, because honestly, like I look now, you know, so I've got, for instance, a really good management contract, and I sell that as a template on my website, as a Word document. People can just download it, customize it, and then off they go. And within minutes, they have got this management contract that they can start a management company with. Back in the day, that took me years to put that buggered together, that document, because I had to do trial and error. I had to work out that you cannot assume that a homeowner is going to understand that you're only going to be looking after the inside of their property. I remember one homeowner turning up and saying, why aren't my lawns looked after? Why isn't my pool cleaned? Well, that wasn't part of the deal, because I had only verbalized it. I hadn't put it on black and white. You and I must have been crazy, Avery. Actually, you know what? And it's funny that you say that, because I remember back in the day when I discovered this idea, I went to the principal of my real estate agency. I was working as a broker, and I went to him and I said, I've got this idea. We're going to do Airbnb property management. You know, and told him the concept. He laughed at me. He scoffed, and he said, he looked at me like I had just said, let's go open up a lemonade stand. So you know what I went back to my desk, wrote up my resignation letter, threw it at him, got out of there. And within months, I'm making more money than him. I poached some of his good staff. I just think, yeah, people, there were a lot of naysayers back in the day, and you've just got to shake that off, and you've got to believe that your idea is a good one. You've just got to put it into action. And look at you and I now. Look at us with our books. You've got your book in the background. I've got my books. It's like, yeah, baby.
Yeah. I remember my first broker. It was a Keller Williams broker in Nashville, a really big one. It was like a big market center, they call it. And which for those of you who don't know, Nashville is like 3 hours from the Smoky Mountains. And I started getting clients in the Smoky Mountains because I owned cabins there and I was managing them. And they were like, you're making how much on that? I want to buy one. Be my agent. Teach me how to do that. And I really needed access to the Smoky Mountain MLS. Well, in order to get that, I had to ask my broker from Nashville to go to the Smoky Mountains, sit through an in-person orientation for one agent. He had like 500 agents, and I was new, so I was not a producer at the time. And they were like, no, why would we do that? Why would you not just refer that out? Why would you bother doing that? And then now we have built an entire business on doing that. So if I listened to my brokers back then, I'd be selling primary homes and probably just a few of them in Nashville and would not probably have the short-term rental business that I have now. So I think that we've just given everyone the impression to not listen to your broker, which is not the intention, but it worked for us.
That's true. But it worked for us, right? We had a dream. We believed in it. We took action, and you know, it's a little risky. Yeah. It gets life-changing, and now for me, my thrill comes from watching other people come into our space, get their first short-term rental, get their second, you know, and I often will just watch them on social media, especially, you know, when they're celebrating that they've had a massive month. I'm like, yes, you know, that's just, I remember, in the last couple of years, there's two people that stand out, and they're both school teachers. And I remember them both coming to me saying, I just can't do this anymore. I need to change my life. I'm never going to get rich being a school teacher. And I'm, unfortunately, it's just not for me anymore. Putting into action, actually, it was great. They did what I told them to do. Put it into action. They're both running multi-million dollar companies now, short-term rental companies. And I could not be prouder of these people. So it's, you know, it's life-changing. So folks, be inspired, be motivated, get out there, get your first short-term rental, do what Avery and Julie did.
Yeah, it really is rewarding when someone comes to you for help. And then, you know, down the line, whether it's a few months or a year or whatever, you see them post something about how well they're doing and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. Good for you. You did it. So that is really, that's an awesome feeling to just feel like you helped somebody in just like the tiniest little bit maybe to.
Yeah, it is really rewarding, isn't it? It's actually, for me, it's more rewarding now than making millions of dollars. That's, you know, I mean, that's kind of cool too, right? But but just seeing like people's lives change and seeing people not a slave to their phone anymore. If I can show them a few techniques on how they can work on the business, not in the business, that's one of my favorite things, where they message me and go, oh my goodness, I had a whole weekend off, or I actually got to have a vacation myself. Yes, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get a little technical for a minute. We've been pretty motivational this whole time. All right, so you mixed a few different strategies. So you owned a few, you arbitraged some, you managed other people. So what was your favorite of those three strategies? Owning and managing your own, managing for other people, or arbitraging?
Look, I do love to own my own properties and run them as short-term rentals because you've got complete control. However, it's not easy to scale. I mean, I say it's not easy to scale, and I'm sitting with the lady that owns 250 properties. Holy crap. I'm motivated by listening to your story. My favorite model, of course, and this is where I'm more known for, is the management. Being able to manage people's homes that are fully furnished homes, ready to go. They come to you, they give you the keys, and within weeks, you know, within a week, I could set up two or three listings just simply because they're other people's homes. So I was, for those people, I was charging 25% commission and taking the full cleaning fee. Now, that is a really great cash flow strategy. Gives you cash flow very quickly. But do you know what I did with that cash flow? Bought more real estate. So put it back into the real estate. And, you know, I look at what you're doing, Avery. You and your team are in the top 15 short-term rental markets in the States. No brainer. For me, if I was in the States, I would be coming to you going, okay, go find me another property. Thank you very much. Go find me a new short-term rental. Keep reinvesting in the real estate. So management is probably my favorite because it was easy. I mean, we turned over in that first year, $1.4 million in the first year. And that was the reason I wrote Million Dollar Host, the book, very, very quickly. You know, you can earn some great cash. Now, however, and any of the other influencers in the industry will be laughing at this because I've always been against arbitrage, leasing and subleasing. I don't like the risk. I don't like the fact that I have to furnish properties. It just doesn't sit well with me, that risk. And when I first started my company, I didn't have any money at all. So, you know, how was I going to create this multi-million dollar business with no money? Was management. But arbitrage, now I have taken on an arbitrage property and I'm currently running one at the moment because it was just too good an opportunity to let go. A friend of mine who was on The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise is very good looking. Girls, he's single as well. So get in touch if you're he's too much of a good friend for me. But anyway, digressing. He came to me and he said, I've got this apartment. I cannot find a tenant for it. I don't know what to do. And I said, show me this apartment. It was happens to be in the most amazing part of the city I live in Australia, fully walkable to all the tourist spots, two bedroom, two bathroom. He wanted $2,000 a month. I had a look at the area on AirDNA. I had a look at STR Insights. I had a look at just on Airbnb, just to see what was around. There was no options for short-term rentals within a two-block radius. I went, right, here we go. Take my money. I'm going to lease this property from you. I went and put $22,000 worth of furniture in it. But now it makes about $2,500 a week. And so, sorry, it makes, yeah, so $10,000, probably about $8,500 to $10,000 a month it makes. And I know my math right. Yes, I have. sorry, we talk in weeks in Australia and I need to get it to months. But basically what I'm saying is making a hell of a lot of money just on this one property, but it also never completely sits 100% comfortably because I've just bought myself a hell of a lot of furniture as well. So at the end of the day, if that goes down, what do I do with all this beautiful furniture? But folks, I guess if what you need to do, if you're listening in right now, what are the opportunities that are presented to you? For me, the arbitrage just was presented to me. I love buying because I think wealth is made through real estate. Buy, hold, and create that that cash flow. Talk to Avery and her team if you're thinking about that. And but thirdly, the cash flow monster for me was the management model. Quick to set up, quick to get those properties listed, easy to scale once you have the right foundation and framework in place. So look for opportunities, act on those opportunities.
That's actually a really good point. So I feel like a lot of people are like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to blaze this trail of building like tree houses and somewhere where tree houses aren't built. And I'm going to make everything really, really hard for myself. So rather than maybe saying, picking some strategy just out there in the atmosphere, go with the strategy that most readily presents itself to you, the easiest way. I think a lot of people get in their own way by trying to be like cool and trailblazing and like they want to do all this crazy stuff. Like just do the easy thing first, take baby steps and do what presents itself to you the easiest to start out anyway.
Look for those opportunities because they just may present. And if you are ready to act on it, give it a, you know, jump in. What's the worst that can happen?
So yes, not really, nothing too terrible. Like if you screw it up, you screw it up, you sell it, move on.
Off you go, something different.
So one of the last main questions that I wanted to ask you, so going from zero to 130 over just the course of a few years and then being able to sell all of that, you must have had some pretty killer systems in place. So what is your advice for building systems and, you know, being able to work on the business rather than in the business and not be the pie lady from eMyth?
There you go. Look, it was always my intention to be, I call myself the matchmaker. So I want to take short-term property investors who want a piece of the short-term rental pie and match them up with budding entrepreneurs who want a business opportunity. So I want to be that person in the middle. And I was looking to create a framework or a structure that that was pretty much self-sufficient, that I wasn't reliant on me, that I could work on, not in. And to do that, it was like a franchise that I set up. So with some pretty strict standards, but I wanted to empower my team members to take responsibility for these properties, encourage guests to stay longer, to be the sales rep out there, to get me more listings. And so I was able to do that. One thing that most people will be very, very surprised about is that I used very little software. I mean, back in 2016, there wasn't a lot of offerings out there for us anyway.
Right.
But I didn't have a PMS. I've never used a PMS, a property management system. I had plenty of PMS, menstrual, you know, cycle, whatever, PMS, women's issues, but never used a PMS. Didn't ever use, okay, here's my big regret. I never used dynamic pricing. What an idiot. Now, that is my one massive regret. And I do now. Price Labs just sent me a little box of goodies. Richie, there's another shout out. But I now definitely use dynamic pricing. And I don't care who you use, Beyond, Wheelhouse, Price Labs, use it because I thought I knew better than somebody overseas telling me what I should price my properties at in my local market. No, what a mistake that was. I look back now and I calculated that a 10 to 12% loss on not using a dynamic pricing, 10 to 12% on $8 million is $1 million. Holy crap. Wow. That is a lot of money that I lose sleep about. So I was using just a real estate software. I was 100% Airbnb. I didn't use any other platforms. And a lot of people say, well, why weren't you on as many platforms as you possibly could? My answer to that is I just needed one person per night paying the rate that I wanted on that property. I don't care where they came from. So if they were all going to come from Airbnb, why did I need to be on booking.com that didn't offer a reciprocal review system? Why did I want them to be on VRBO that didn't offer a host guarantee? Airbnb worked for me, loved it, probably should have a facial tattoo. If Chesky ever wants to buy me a facial tattoo of Airbnb, I'm there. But I just feel that my whole philosophy was keep it simple, stupid. And so I would use Xero for my bookkeeping, a real estate software, and Airbnb. That was it. But I did have some really good systems and procedures behind the scene with a team that took responsibility and just ran with it. Lots of profit sharing as part of my structure. But that is something that if I was to start up again now, I would probably do everything the same again, but using dynamic pricing.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a lot of, to not have property management software at that scale is a lot of work.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
And most people go, that's just impossible. And I'm going, not really, because what I could do is I had 130 properties listed on my Airbnb profile. And a lot of people would say, isn't that risky? Not if you're not doing the wrong thing. I would then have my co-hosts on the properties, the portfolio that they were looking after. So they might have 10 properties that they co-hosted on. They could see the messaging and answer the messaging on those properties to those guests. But that was it. It was such a simple system. So all communication was either done through Airbnb or through just text messaging. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a part two of this because there's still a lot to unpack here. But we're to the final three questions of the show we ask everyone. And the first of those is, what advice would you give 20-year-old Julie?
Stop chasing boys. Oh, sorry. You mean short-term rental advice?
Well, it could be any sort of advice.
Okay, so when I was 20, I was living in Los Angeles. So here's an interesting fact. I was working for the Australian Tourist Commission and I was promoting Australia as a tourism destination. I would encourage 20-year-old Julie to just keep believing in the dream, keep dreaming big and dreaming bigger, because I had this dream to go to Hollywood and work over in the States, drive a red convertible. I achieved that at 20. I think in my 20s, I probably lost focus a little bit. I lost confidence in myself because 22, I was pregnant, so to a loser. Sorry, did I say that out loud? Yes. Yes, I would say just keep believing in your dreams, keep dreaming big, dreaming bigger, and then take action. A little bit like what you and I have already done, Avery, but we did it a little later in life. 20-year-old Julie, get onto it. Get onto it early.
All right. So next question, I was about to make a filthy joke about getting onto it, but I decided not to.
we can do that when we stop recording, then we'll, don't worry. My biggest worry on these podcasts, Avery, is my Australian potty mouth that I will swear. So thank goodness for editing these days.
Yeah. All right. Next question, very similar, but not related to you personally. So what advice would you give a new investor who's interested in getting started today?
Oh, easy. Okay. Educate. Be a sponge. Listen to every one of Avery's podcasts. Buy her book. Buy my book. Just soak up the information from people who have already been there and done it. And there's so much free information out there. So get onto Clubhouse, get onto YouTube, come along to any of the local meetups in your area, connect with other hosts, but make sure that you just be a sponge. Do not stop learning. But then the second piece of advice, take action. Don't procrastinate. Don't be one of these people that continuously educates but doesn't ever go out and get their first short-term rental. I see plenty of those because they're a little scared to do that. Don't be scared. Jump on in. You're going to make mistakes. I can guarantee you'll make mistakes, but you're also going to have a hell of a good time doing it, and you'll learn from those mistakes. So take action. You won't regret it.
All right. And last question. What is your favorite book that has impacted your mindset?
Oh, man. Okay. I'm looking beside me because I've got lots of books going on.
Let me check my bookshelf.
The One Thing. It's called The One Thing. And it's a really, oh, I can't remember who wrote it now, but
Gary look Keller. Up
the, there we go. Thank you.
Welcome.
I think that's probably the most recent book that I've read that really has impacted on me. And that is purely just to get focused and stop, you know, stop trying to do 10 different things at once, get focused, concentrate on one task at a time and get through it. I'm listening on Audible at the moment to Russell Brunson's Expert Secrets. Now, I've listened to this before, but I just needed another little friendly reminder of being able to, you know, make yourself the person of influence in your area, you know, being able to just believe in yourself again. And, you know, I think we all always have these little ups and downs in life. You know, our confidence can get rocked by whatever situation might be happening at the time. But ultimately, if we can always keep forging forward and keep that momentum going, it's really important. So, but keep reading, folks. Of course, hospitable hosts, which I'm very happy to announce that Avery Carl will be in the 2023 edition of Hospitable Hosts. So exciting news, Avery, that you and I are going to co-author a book together.
Yes,
which has
thank
just
you
been
guys
picked
for
up
having
by Netflix.
Me. Thank you guys so much for having me. Very excited about that.
Oh, it's a no-brainer. You know, we've got some of the most incredible names coming into the new book. Actually, you know what? Let's give the audience a bit of a sneak peek. We've got Bill Faith. We've got Mike Shrogan. We've got Noble Crawford. There's Mark Simpson will be featuring again. So there's some of our favorite short-term rental influencers coming together to put a book out, and that will be launched 20th to the 21st of March in Nashville. Avery and I will be on stage in the Wild Horse Saloon. Oh, Avery, they got me onto a bucking bull last year or this year, so be warned, don't wear a skirt because
I will
it does
not
get dangerous. So Avery and I will be there. We will be celebrating Hospitable Hosts. We'll be celebrating the Short-Term Rental Wealth Conference. If you buy a ticket, you spell Avery, J-U-L-I-E, the code. No, we've got a little friendly competition going on to see who we can get to come to Nashville with us. But folks, just read, be a sponge, and then take action.
Awesome. Well, Julie, this has been a wealth of information. I feel like everybody is going to love this episode. So if people who are listening want to follow you, maybe get some one-on-one coaching, how do they do that? Where do they find you?
All of the social medias. So if you look up Million Dollar Host or Julie George on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, I'm there. Don't know that I do a very good job on TikTok, but the dancing, the makeup, the cooking tutorials, I'll try and figure it out. But folks, look me up, but get in touch, send me a direct message. I have got a website as well, milliondollarhost.com.au, AU for Australia. But please just know that I am human. I am happy to talk to you. I'm also offering 15-minute free Zooms. If anybody wants to just get on a Zoom call with me, let's get on and have a chat. Please do so. And then, of course, I'm doing one-on-one coaching as well as public speaking and all sorts of fun stuff. But get in touch. I would love to hear from you. And let me know if you've listened to this episode. I would love to know where you heard, if you heard Avery and I.
Awesome. Well, Julie, thank you again so much for coming on, and we will catch you later. We're definitely going to do a part two, so we'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Avery. Thank you, everybody.